Please open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 255. We'll be reading responsibly verses 24 through 29. The 27th verse is the text verse. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 24 through 29, page 255. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage? And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for our Bibles. What a wonderful, wonderful joy to be able to pick up this old book, read from it, know that it's the truth, that it's thy word. We pray for your help now, for our service, for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on the subject, when you hit the bottom. When you hit the bottom. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast for these nearly 100 years been with this church. We need Thee tonight. For 100 years, some man of God has stood on this corner or near it, who believed this book and proclaimed it. Now preserve the message and the ministry of this church in the future as thou hast in the past. And yet tonight we need thee for tonight. Help us as we think of things eternal. Amen. Moses is on his deathbed. He calls for the priest and the Levites first. And there, on his deathbed, or as his death approaches, he exhorts the priest and the Levites. And this is, of course, the way it ought to be. Spiritual leaders should have his first attention and his first exhortation. After he has exhorted the priest and Levites, and advise them about the future, he then calls for Joshua. Joshua, the successor of Moses. And there for a while he speaks to Joshua. Advises him. Admonishes him. And exhorts him. Then, as he's dying, he begins to sing. He exhorted the priests, the Levites, then Joshua. And now the old dying man begins to sing. And then in the closing moments, he exhorts all the people. It's been a long life since his little body was placed in an ark and put in the bulrushes of the Nile River. It's been a long life, 120 years of it. It's been a long time since he was trained for the throne. And I'm sure he looked back over his life, as any of us would, as we come toward the sunset of it. He remembers how that he was trained for the throne, and then how he turned down the throne, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, and calling that greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And then, I'm sure in his mind he must remember that time when he who could have sat on the throne of Egypt and could himself have been the Pharaoh, when he identified himself with a hated group of slave people in Egypt. And then for 40 years in the desert, being prepared by God to lead the Israelites. And then his mind, I'm sure, wanders back to that burning bush that God allowed to burn but not to be consumed, telling Moses that the people whom he was supposed to lead would be in the fire but would not be consumed. Bless God, I love that truth. I mean, in the fire, but not consumed. Always in the fire, but never destroyed. Then he remembers going to Pharaoh and saying to the ruler, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, "Who sent you?" Moses says, "Whom shall I say sent me?" God said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." God never is and I was or and I will be. He's always an I am. And then he remembers those 10 plagues, the last one being the Passover lamb and the death angel. Of course, Moses must think about that night when the blood was applied on the doorpost of all those that believed God. And the death angel passed over and took the firstborn in every home that did not apply the blood. Then, of course, he has to remember, as he's coming toward the end of his earthly life, he has to remember the Red Sea. He has to remember how that he took his rod and smote the waters of the Red Sea and led these 2 or 3, 4 million Israelites across the Red Sea on dry ground. After that, the Egyptian armies that were pursuing were drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. He probably still has the taste of manna in his mouth and remembers with delight the gushing of that water that came from the rock in Horeb, smitten once and spoken to regularly. He certainly cannot forget that journey across the wilderness from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan and the Kadesh Barnea experience. When they were right at the door of the promised land and sent out the 12 spies, and they came back and voted not to go forward, and God punished them and sent the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years of Moses' life, the last 40 years, were the rebellious, disobedient, and chastened people of God. And now then, they're about to go into the promised land. The crossing of the Jordan already cast its shadow across his path. The city of Jericho can almost be seen. The battle of Ai. The cleansing of the land. Purging of the land of Canaan. But Moses can't go. And so, he calls his people together. Can you imagine how tender this must have been? Can you imagine tonight if I were on my deathbed and if I had a chance to speak to you from this pulpit for the last time? Can you imagine how I would wander back over the last 28 plus years and relive the experiences of these 28 years? Moses is doing that. He says many things to them because he knows that battles are just ahead. He knows that entering to the end of the promised land is not the end of the battle. To enter the land is not to possess the land. And so, Moses says many things. But one thing he said is this: the eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. May I call your attention to two words tonight: the word underneath and the word everlasting. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The word underneath means bottom. Exactly what it means. At the bottom are the everlasting arms. I mean, you may hit the bottom, but you're going to have something still under you. the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Now the word everlasting is very interesting also. It means vanishing point or ultimate reach. Now follow me carefully. It doesn't matter how far down you go or where you go down. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms don't just cover the spot where you're sinking down to the bottom. It covers the whole bottom. It matters not where you go down to the bottom. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I would not be surprised but that most of the people in this room tonight are at the bottom in some area of your life. Some physically are at the bottom. Some financially are at the bottom. Some emotionally are at the bottom. Some, as far as your strength is concerned, you're at the bottom. And yet, what Moses is saying here, as God inspires him, Moses is saying, folks, every one of you will someday go to the bottom in some area of your life. But doesn't matter where you go to the bottom. Underneath are the everlasting arms. If you go to the bottom over here financially, underneath are the everlasting arms. If you go to the bottom over here as far as bereavement is concerned, underneath are the everlasting arms. If you go to the bottom as far as your health is concerned, underneath are the everlasting arms. And he was saying to God's people, some of you will go underneath over here, and some 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 here. But God's everlasting arm is not only at the bottom, it's all over the bottom. And you'll never go to the bottom and miss the everlasting arms of our God. May I say tonight, underneath all sin are the everlasting arms. How deep have you gone in sin? Underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you done something you thought you'd never do? Underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you gone all the way to the bottom? And you've reproached yourself and your name and your family and your church. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You've gone to the bottom. You think there's no forgiveness. But underneath your sin tonight are the everlasting arms. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, preacher, I've done some things I couldn't even tell you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, preacher, I've killed a man. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you say, preacher, I've disgraced my own name, the name of my family, my friends, and preacher, I don't believe God would forgive me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, because at the bottom, underneath, are the everlasting arms. And those arms are capable and willing and ready to pick you up tonight and set you back in a place of usefulness. I remember, over the rescue mission years ago, there came a fellow named Pete. Pete was one of the few fellows at our rescue mission that wouldn't get saved. But quite frank with you, I'm not sure Pete ever got saved. Pete loved me very much. When Pete would get drunk, he'd go out on a binge, he'd come to my office and knock on the door. And he'd look at me and he'd just drunk and he'd say, Pray House, would you give me a dollar? And I said, Pete, I can't give you a dollar. He said, Brother House, I always want $1. I said, Pete, I know why you want a dollar. And Pete would throw himself around my neck and he'd kiss me on the cheek and say, Brother House, you're the best friend I've got. He'd sober up and come back and thank me for not giving him a dollar. I was walking down the alley one night, nobody could reach Pete. And I said, Pete, why don't you get saved? And Pete said to me, Brother Howes, you understand. He said, with these arms here, I killed a man. He said, God wouldn't save me. Oh, yes, He would.
Oh, yes, he would. But he said, I can't believe God would save me. I don't know if he'd ever got saved. They found him a cold winter morning, frozen to death in the alcove of a little building down here on Calumet Street. I've thought so often about Pete, if somehow we could have just convinced him underneath of the everlasting arms. I'm talking to some people tonight who've gone pretty far down. You may have hit the bottom as far as sin is concerned, but I've got some good news for you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And if you've gone to the bottom of sin, I don't care what you've done. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red, they shall be snow, though red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's grace enough to reach deeper than your sins are. And underneath are the everlasting arms. But I go to the next part of our ocean of despair, and I come to the word despair itself. Under all despair of the everlasting arms. I know of some people here tonight, and of course you don't live with the suffering like I do. You don't hear what they say. You don't know the burdens in this room like I do. You don't go home at night and try to sleep and toss and tumble and say, oh, my people are hurt tonight, and I don't want them to hurt. But all over this room, there are people tonight who have gone to the bottom in despair. They can't face tomorrow. They'll not commit suicide, but it'd be a relief for them if they'd wake up in heaven tomorrow morning. When they wake up in the morning, they wish it were all a dream, hoping that when they wake up, it's not real at all, it was just a bad dream. They find that reality faces them just like it did the night before. I think the night about Nettie Rose. Wouldn't she love to be here tonight? Wouldn't she love to sit one more time in this church? She and Henry sitting right back there, handsome couple. Whoever saw a nicer looking elderly man than Henry Rose? Whoever saw a happier smile than Nettie Rose? Tonight she sits out there in the rest home, or lays out there in the rest home, lies there. Tonight she's there, and she'll probably never walk inside this building again where she was gone for 80 years. But I'm so glad underneath her despair are the everlasting arms. You go to the bottom of despair, you don't see a way out, you don't see an answer, you can't face tomorrow. Let me tell you, not only underneath the bottom of sin or the everlasting arms, but the bottom of despair or the everlasting arms. Let me hasten because of time. Anywhere you go to the bottom, the arms are there. They cover the whole bottom. The depths of sin. He wants to forgive you tonight. He wants to restore you tonight. He wants to use you again tonight. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how old you are, how far away you've been. You can walk out those doors tonight singing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. In my heart's a song buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Bless God, my sins are gone. You can be forgiven tonight. He said, I don't deserve it. Nobody does. Nobody does. The everlasting arms are at the bottom of sin tonight. The everlasting arms are at the bottom of despair. May I say this also? The everlasting arms are at the bottom of bereavement. Talking to folks tonight who just walked away from your daddy's casket. You were close to your daddy. One of our men last Sunday night, I was with him for a while, and his daddy is very sick, and they thought last Sunday night he's probably at the point of death. And I was talking to him. He was telling me how much he loved his daddy and how close they were to each other. I know folks in this room tonight, all over this house tonight, your daddy just gone. Your mama's been taken. There's a little bronze shoe up on the mantle, a picture beside it of a baby you carried beneath your own heart, to whom you gave birth and life, whose lifespan was very brief. The night you look at that little bronze shoe, I remember I was out here in South Hammond soul winning. I walked to the door, knocked on the door, nobody answered, and I heard a noise around the back, went around the back. There's a garage in the back in the driveway back there. A little lady got out of the car, and she had some 2 sacks of groceries. I said, "Ma'am, could I help you carry your groceries in, please?" And she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Jack House, pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond." I showed her my card and driver's license to prove it. And she said, "Yes, you may." She was a little abrupt. I walked in, took the groceries for her, and as I walked in and started to walk out, I looked up and I saw a little bronze shoe on the mantel, a little baby's picture. And I said, "Ma'am, whose baby?" And a tear came into her eye. And she said, "That was ours. Just a few days ago, she was taken." I said, "Would you like to see her again?" "Oh," she said, "I'll never see her again. She's gone." "Oh," I said, "but you can see her again if you want to." And there in the back door, almost going out toward the back porch, I told her the wonderful story of Christ. And she was assured that she'd see that little baby again, was baptized in this baptistry the next Sunday morning. I know your heart's broken tonight. I know there's a widow here, an empty place at the table beside you in bed. I know there's a child here whose daddy and mother have been taken and you've been left to be reared by another. But underneath are the everlasting arms. You say, "Preacher, I'm at the bottom." Well, if it's the bottom of sin, underneath are the everlasting arms. The bottom of despair, underneath are the everlasting arms. The bottom of bereavement, underneath are the everlasting arms. You've heard me say this often. One of the most amazing things ever happened to me was at the casket of my daddy, who died an alcoholic drunkard's death, 1950, 37 years ago. I went to the funeral home, the O'Neill funeral home in Dallas, the same funeral home that embalmed President Kennedy. Went to the O'Neill funeral home in Dallas. Not many folks were there. My daddy didn't have any. If you don't find any real friends in taverns, they don't. Yeah, you don't find anything there. They won't stick with it. They get all they can out of you and let you go. Just a little simple funeral, a few of us in a little chapel there. And my old preacher that baptized me, Forrest McElroy, stood and spoke a few words. Big fellow about the size of Joe Boyd. And I walked up, and I had never had a loved one to die before. But I wasn't prepared for it. When I touched his brow, it was cold. I didn't know that. I've heard the expression cold in death, but I wasn't prepared for it. As I reached out and touched his brow, a hand gripped me right here on the arm. I could feel the fingers as they gripped me right here on the arm. And I turned to see who it was. There was nobody there. And I kept feeling that hand gripping my arm. You know what it was? I was at the bottom. And that was the hand on the end of that everlasting arm. That's what it was. Underneath, at the bottom, is the arm that's everywhere on the bottom. Are you in the bottom over here of sin? The everlasting arm is underneath you. Are you at the bottom over here of despair? The everlasting arm is underneath you. Are you at the bottom over here of bereavement? Everlasting arm is underneath you. Or are you at the bottom financially? He can't make ends meet. Just got laid off. You got a family to rear. Debts to pay. Rent. Utilities. I can tell you people in this room tonight have no utilities on. No heat in their house. May I say this, and don't think I'm a saint. I'm not. But I mean this. If you knew how hard I worked around here to keep everybody cared for, I sometimes wonder what would happen if I died. I wonder if somebody would come in here that would care about you, take care of you. Every dime I can rake and scrape, I spend it. Now, just a mind, if somebody gives me money, sometimes folks give me sizable amounts of money. And I try to keep people fed. I try to keep the heat on in houses. You don't understand it. It's hard to believe this. 50 miles that way, there's prosperity. 50 50 miles west of here, one of the most prosperous parts of this country. And yet right here in this great Kennebec region, it's been a depressed area for all this long time. But I want to tell you something tonight. I can't feed everybody, though I'll try. And I can't keep everybody's heat on, though I'll try. I'll tell you what. I don't care how far down you are financially. I'll guarantee you that underneath are the everlasting arms. Are you one of the little girls at college that has to wait on tables and scrub? Every time the payment's due, you have to pray it down. You don't know how it's going to... You don't know whether you'll be in college tomorrow or next week, or whether you have to go home or not. And as one little lady said this morning, she had no home to go to. And she said, how can I pay my bill and no home to go to? Are you down to bottom college, young lady? Underneath! At the bottom! Underneath! Of the everlasting arms. Are you one of the little girls at Hammond Baptist High School whose daddy's gone? Maybe he left your mother and you didn't make it alone, or maybe he passed away and you can't afford the new dress for the Valentine's banquet. You can't afford the money for all the activities. You go to school and see most of the students at our school with nice clothes. You wonder why you can't have them. I'd like to say to you, by testimony, I know what I'm talking about. I was 14 years old before I ever had a pair of shoes I called my own. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I could testify tonight about it. Are you at the bottom? Little college wife. You come to church, you see other wives here whose husbands are not in full-time service and not in college and the same age you are. Are you listening to me? The same age you are. They've already got their nice little home, the kind you had to give up when you came to college. They drive their nice car, the kind you had to sell when you came to college. Tonight you're here living in some little apartment that rat-infested and cockroach-infested. You look at the others who have nice clothes, new clothes to wear. The other ladies your own age or whose husbands are in the secular field and they have their new little cottages. Let me tell you, you're going to the bottom. You don't know what you're going to do for Christmas. I can hardly take Christmas. I'd die. Because of our people. And many of you dread to see it come. You don't see one single thing you can do for your children. Let me just tell you again. The eternal God is our refuge, and at the bottom are the everlasting arms. He's at the bottom of sin, despair, bereavement, poverty, and illness. Tonight there are people in this room who don't know if the cancer is fatal or not, or terminal or not. There are people in this room, cancer, Hodgkin's disease. I watched one of our members recently. One of the finest people I know in this church. Certain disease taken his body. Just a shadow of what he used to be. One of the greatest guys I've ever known in my life. And I looked at him and I wanted to get a .410 shotgun and find out where the devil lives and go blow him to pieces. I mean, all this room tonight, cancer, Hodgkin's disease, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, name it, it's all over here. You're at the bottom, physically, thank God, at the bottom, underneath of the everlasting arms. No matter where you go under, financially, bereavement, despair, sin, poverty, illness, underneath all the everlasting arms. Underneath, at the bottom of weakness, are the everlasting arms. Can you, tonight, don't know how you can go a step further. I watch some of you walk. I watch you. I watch Mrs. Scales back there walk. Getting up in years now. I stand here sometimes at the head of a casket while you walk by and look at the deceased. And I watch you. I knew you when you were young. I knew you when you were 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. I watched Mrs. Temperley walk at a funeral. And others. Mrs. Stark. Mrs. Ramsey. And others. I mean, to get up to chore. Just to go to the car is labor. And I'm sure that many, many of us, many of you in this room tonight, you don't know how long it's going to be before you'll be in that rest home beside Mrs. Rose. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you go to the bottom. All over the bottom. All the everlasting arms. When you go to the bottom of weakness and you can't go another step, He'll be there. Under all your problems. You say tonight, how can I work it out? I don't see the answer. I've got problems that are unsolvable. I don't know what the solution is. I've got burdens that are unbearable. I don't know how long I can carry them. I've got questions that are unanswerable. I don't know the answer. I don't either. But I know the one that does is right under the bottom with his everlasting arms. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He'll keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. I sometimes think about Moses. Wonder how he took it. I've carried this church on my shoulders for 28 years. I've carried, whether you know it or not, I've carried you on my shoulders for 28 years. I wonder how Moses did it. Moses is gone now. His breath is slipping away. His heart has a few more beats, and that's all. On Jordan's stormy banks, he stood and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where his possessions lie. But he goes to Mount Nebo. And I love this. I can't prove this, but if you can prove it wrong, don't tell me. They couldn't find the body of Moses. You know why? God buried him. I mean, God said, Moses, I'll be your undertaker. Mr. Ault was in business then, but at Boken Funeral Home, but God said, let me just be the pallbearer. Let me just take care of it myself. I think he knew what he was talking about. I think he knew. His heart had been broken many times. His shoulders had been drooped so many times. He got so weary one time, he had to have some folks come and help him counsel. Now the old man's going to heaven. He looks out to his people. He loves them. He says to his people, I'm leaving, but I want to leave a message with you. The eternal God is our refuge. And at the bottom, wherever you sink to the bottom, are the everlasting arms. Tonight, if you have no one to hold your hand, it's not God's fault, because His hand's at the end of that arm. Father, comfort our people tonight. A lot of the people in this room tonight are at the bottom. At the bottom, financially. I pray that they'll reach out and take the hand at the end of that everlasting arm.